Today, we celebrate the Sunday after Holy Cross Day, a day that in this parish we affectionately call Redeemer Day. It's a day on which we give thanks to God for calling us together in community in this place. When we rejoice for the mission and ministry God has entrusted to us, and it's a time we give thanks for our forebears in this parish and look forward to where God is leading us in this next chapter in our life. And I have to say, this year I give especial thanks for this day, for it's not just Redeemer Day, a day that's always a day of joy and celebration, but it is also the day that we return to the church. That we return after so long, we have not worshipped here since March of 2020. And it has been many long months. It has been an arduous journey. The process of removing the carpet and treating the mold took a long time. But at last, here we are, in this space. A space with very different acoustics. I think it's very fitting for us that on this Redeemer Day we are able for the first time to worship here in the church. Because the Feast of the Holy Cross is many things, but one thing it is it shows us the importance of buildings. Now, I'm not saying the church is the building. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. But the place the church gathers, this church building, is important. It's a gathering place for this community. And it's also a visible and tangible sign to the wider community of our presence and our work. And the history of the Feast of the Holy Cross actually begins with a building project. We can probably relate. Back in the 4th century, there was great interest in the sites that tradition said were associated with the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Information about the location of these places have been passed through the generations. Then in the year 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine, who was not a Christian, nonetheless prayed to gods that could help him, and before a very decisive battle, he prayed to the Christian God. He won, and he attributed that victory to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus. And so no longer did he, the emperor, persecute the church, and the church could come out of hiding and was able to build public buildings. In addition, Emperor Constantine began a building project in Jerusalem, particularly around Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. Now, this site had been destroyed in the year 70 by the Romans after a Jewish revolt, and it had been covered by tons of debris. And so the first job was to excavate all that debris away. Constantine sent his mother Helena to oversee this project, and she is credited with herself finding the true cross of Jesus. After the excavation was complete, a great church, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is still there in Jerusalem, although in a newer form, but the great church was built on the site, tradition said, Jesus died and was buried. And that cross that Helena found, the cross of Jesus, was placed in the center of this building. And on September 14th in the year 335, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was dedicated. And that day became the Feast of the Holy Cross. And here we are, so many centuries later, in a very different building, keeping that feast. The focus on Holy Cross Day is not so much on the pain and suffering of Jesus on the cross, of the shame of the cross. It's instead the victory of the cross. It celebrates how an awful instrument of capital punishment used by the Romans for insurrectionists, how that awful instrument becomes the means of our salvation. The feast focuses on that victory that Jesus wins for us. How through the cross and the victory of Jesus, we are set free from the dominion of sin and even death itself. As followers of Jesus, our Redeemer, the cross is central for us. We hear this in the collect of the day that we just prayed. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. Mercifully grant that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him. As that collect makes clear, to follow Jesus means to take up our cross. It is a journey that is costly. It requires that we turn over our will to God's will. It calls us to offer ourselves in humble, loving service, to do so by caring for the least and the marginalized. And through the cross, Jesus promises to draw the whole world to himself, to lift us above the sin, the brokenness of this world, to gather all people to him, to share in the victory of his cross. As a church dedicated to Jesus, our Redeemer, we celebrate Holy Cross Day as our feast of title. And it's a time for us to celebrate the many ways that God has blessed us, has generously provided for this parish. It's also a day to remember our past, to tell the story of our founding, of our history, to give thanks for the faithfulness, the courage, the vision of those who have gone before us in this parish. It's a time to remember with grateful hearts our ancestors in the faith in this place. Now, you may already know this story, but I want to just tell you a bit of our history to remind you of how we were founded, or how our history really begins with St. John's Church, what later becomes our cathedral, and how that church was overcrowded by the midpoint of the 19th century. And people began to wonder, should they do something to expand that church, or do we need another church in this area? And so two or three ladies gathered together in prayer. They intentionally asked if God was calling for a new church in this northern part of Providence. And after praying through the year, they believed that indeed God was calling for a new church to be established. And so we were founded in 1859, the new church for the northern part of our city, and built our first building on North Main Street, where University Heights is. It's striking that we were founded, the first church to do this in the state, we were founded without pew rent, so that anyone who wanted could attend church. Now, in the 19th century, churches made their money by renting pews, and so it meant we did not have that regular income and had to find new ways to support ourselves financially. But the reality of pew rent was, if you didn't have the money, you didn't have a seat, and this parish wanted everyone to be able to attend. The parish grew and flourished. We built a parish house. There was lots of activity, but the neighborhood around it was changing. And this new neighborhood up in Hope Street was being developed. And in 1909, at the 50th anniversary of the parish, the bishop of the diocese at the time, William McVicar, said to the parish, "The Church of the Redeemer must be moved. If the rector and the members of this parish decide to move, I promise to raise the first $1,000 towards the expense of such action. And I promise furthermore to raise that amount within a week." We're told that the congregation applauded. Everyone supported what the bishop said. And the bishop's gift was significant. That $1,000 today is more than $26,000. And so it was through his vision and leadership and the leadership of the parish that we made that bold move, building this building as our new church in the brand new neighborhood on Hope Street. On May 1st, 1917, ground was broken. The cornerstone was laid in July. And the next Easter, we held our first service in this space. The baptistry is dedicated to Bishop McVicar for his leadership, his vision, and his support. And here we are more than 100 years later in that same church. As I reflect on our history this year in particular, I am struck by two themes. And the first is what we've already heard. It's that theme of prayer. How this parish began by some women praying. They entered into discernment. In prayer, they asked to know God's will. And sure enough, they received an answer. We sit here today as the beneficiaries of their faith, of their trust in God, and of their faithful discernment. I think the witness of these two or three unnamed women reminds us of the importance of prayer, of discernment, of listening to God's will. And I think the moment that we find ourselves now in this time, calls for the same from us. It calls for us to be engaged in faithful prayer, to be attentive, to listen to God's call to us in this moment. The truth is, every facet of our world, of our lives, both in society and in the church, is in flux and change. And so this is a season, I think, to ask, where is God leading us? What is God calling us to do now? I hope and pray that we faithfully engage in this process, that we engage in this prayer, this discernment, as a community, to know God's call for us as we return to the church and begin this new chapter. The other theme in our history, and this theme strikes me every year, but I think it's important for us in this year, is that theme of taking risks. And I don't mean foolhardily, I don't mean putting the parish in jeopardy, but I mean daring to listen to God for God's audacious call. Think about our history. To say, oh, we're going to build a new church in that new neighborhood that's just starting, that's audacious, that's bold. There's risk in that. There's risk in giving up pew rent, the means of support for the parish, saying we'll find new ways of financial support. And so throughout our history, I see this theme of listening to God and then taking risks. Risks for the sake of God's call. In all these situations, the parish followed God, who sustained and protected and delivered them. And repeatedly, God has richly blessed this community of followers of Jesus. I know and trust that God will continue to do so, even in this unsettled time. And so I think on this Redeemer Day, it's important to remember that God calls us too to holy work now in this moment. Just as God called all of those who have gone before us in this parish. Like them, may we be attentive to God through our faithful prayer, through our deep listening to God's call, standing upon the strong foundation that they laid for us in this parish. May we risk everything to follow Jesus and never waver from our commitment to walking in his way of love, to welcoming all people, to never shrinking back from the holy tasks that God asks of us, always remembering that what God asks of us, God gives us the means, the ability, the strength, the grace to do them. As Jesus urges us in the gospel today, let us walk always in the light of Christ. Jesus is the light the darkness will never overcome. The light of Christ will never be extinguished. The forces of sin and death are no match for the power of God's love. by the light of Christ, may we always gaze upon our neighbors and this world, seeing with the eyes of God through the light of God, that we see all people with compassion and generosity and love. And may we always boldly proclaim Jesus as our Redeemer and act in His name. Amen.